Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another week in sports. A pretty big week in sports it's been. I'm Andy Hayes. This is Philip J. Singh.
You know that's not my name, right?
It is now. You're watching this. An episode of the Sports Cooler is off to a horrible start. Well, horrible start.
Your fault.
Yeah.
You should do more research.
Shut up, Alan.
Okay.
Alrighty. Phil, where can everybody find us?
Of course, we're everywhere on social media. The website is sportingmed.com.au. Twitter, @sportingmedau. Facebook, sportingmed. It's just search for us. It's the easiest way.
Yep.
And podcast is on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Now, we do record this. We're pretty lazy. So I record this for YouTube and for iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're watching on YouTube, there should be a subscribe button above Phil's head. If you're on iTunes, just subscribe and be nice. We put a lot of effort into this 30 minutes.
We do. I've done a lot of research today.
I have done none.
Okay.
So let's see how we go. Okay. Straight into it. Highlight of the week.
Well,
what do you got? What do you got?
You told me I wasn't allowed to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. My personal highlight of the week, which pretty much no one else will care about, is, as you know, I coach a women's football team.
We do.
And yesterday's game, we saved two penalties.
You personally?
No, the team. Well, the two goalkeepers. We had
a replacement goalkeeper.
Because our normal goalkeeper has broken her finger. Replacement goalkeeper went in goal and saved the first penalty.
Yeah.
She tore a quad muscle. The original goalkeeper with the broken finger went into goal to replace her. They conceded another penalty, and she saved the penalty with her broken finger as well. So I think
I'll give you that. Fair
nothing
enough.
Else really happened for me this week.
So... Any professional sporting highlight of the week?
Obviously, the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
Was four pretty good games.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a minute. But just in general, good quality football.
Exactly, yes.
I had the Matildas, but we'll talk about that in a sec. I think they did us proud, considering the result. My main one, one of my favourite tennis players.
Oh, yeah?
Pat Rafter. Pat Rafter is now the head of... I think he's like the director of elite performance or... something like some silly job title for Tennis Australia.
Yeah.
But he has given John Tomic an absolute whack this week, and I'm happy about it. I'm proud about it because that guy is generally a flog. His son's a flog. His daughter's only 17, so we don't know much about her, so I'll leave her alone for a minute because that would seem mean. But generally, the entire family of the male variety are a bunch of flogs, and Pat Rafter said, "I'm not funding you anymore. Get stuffed until you pull your head out of your arse."
I think most people are happy with that. A good booming serve down the tee. Get rid of old John.
Out. Go. Mm. Now, John was interviewed on TV the other day when they were practicing at Wimbledon, and he said, "Tennis Australia is like FIFA, and they should be out at all of them." So it just shows that he's generally a lunatic. In saying that, I don't know much about Tennis Australia, but I like Pat Rafter.
Yeah, well, I think everyone does. Isn't he everyone's favourite tennis player?
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Now, I reckon he might be... Well, he's not. It's not. Only, but he's definitely one of the men that my wife would leave me for in a heartbeat.
Oh, she's told me this.
Gone. I would be smoke.
Yeah.
She'd be gone.
Yeah, she's on the list.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think he is the list.
Yeah.
All right, so a local highlight of the week and then a flog whacking.
Yeah.
That sounds bad.
I think
we won't talk about that. That doesn't come across right.
I think you phrased that incorrectly.
Yeah, possibly. It's entirely impossible. A fair amount of sport that went on this week.
Not a huge amount,
but good quality stuff, I think.
Yeah.
We'll start with Women's World Cup.
Yes. Now, I told you last week that Japan were going to be phenomenal. And
you
they
did.
Were.
I got up and watched this game. Sweet baby Jesus.
Mm.
They were good. If they don't win the World Cup, it would be a fairly big shock, I think. Just from what I've seen, they were pretty outstanding. Now, the Matildas were buggered.
Yeah.
And they gave it everything that they've got, so hats off to them.
Yeah. That Japan team reminds me of... The Spain team at their absolute best. I mean, they'd only score one or two goals.
Doesn't matter,
but
they'd
absolutely annihilate you, and you'd be chasing shadows the whole game.
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought they were outstanding. Goal in the 87th minute, heartbreaking for the Matildas.
Mm.
Bit of crying, bit of everything. Fair enough too.
Yep.
I've been knocked out of a World Cup quarter final.
No.
I'd probably have a cry.
I think so. I think that's reasonable.
Yes. Yeah.
Interestingly, the Japan coach said after the game that he said that we were always going to score, basically, whether it was in the 87th minute or the 119th minute.
Mm.
He had no concerns about them scoring.
They look good. They had the ball a lot. I mean, Australia, though, had a lot of pace. So fair play to them. I think they were good. England made it through.
Yep.
Basically, the women, and I put something up today on social media, I think it's because the women care more. they just, you know, they're not on highly paid contracts.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't have premiership teams where they get paid 250 grand a year, where the World Cup's just kind of a side thing, or I feel like it is anyway.
Yeah.
And I think good on them. And I hope, you know, there's in it deep down, I kind of hope the English go on to win it just so they can turn around and tell the men to get buggered. But right. It would just give all of them, all the English fans, just something to crow about for the next 60 years.
Yeah.
Well, they don't win anything ever again.
Well, I think they've done enough.
I think they've been good.
Yeah.
I think they've been good. USA got through, to be expected. The Germany-France game, solid, solid game. France losing on penalties.
Yes.
The captain missing a penalty, the last penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Some unbelievable, outstanding penalties.
Yeah, really good quality. Obviously, you expect that from the Germans.
Yeah.
The French not so much, but they were equally good.
Yeah, the French girl, I can't remember her name, missed basically a tap-in in the 118th minute.
Yeah.
Well, around 115, 118 minute, and it was going to be costly from start to finish.
Yeah, look, but France should have been 3-0 up at halftime. They had all the chances in the first half. So, semi-final matchups are, where have I got them? Germany versus USA, that's Wednesday, 9 a.m. Japan, England, Thursday, 9 a.m.
So Japan and...
I'd go Germany.
You going Germany?
Yep. The Americans look...
yeah, maybe.
Limited, I would say.
Okay.
They're running out of steam.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right. Wimbledon starts today.
Does it?
Now-ish. Now, I ranted probably a couple of weeks ago about the French Open being the dullest tennis open of them all. Which it is, and I stand by that.
Mm.
Wimbledon, on the other hand, not so much. I quite like it.
Okay.
Traditionalist.
To be honest, the build-up to Wimbledon has kind of passed me by.
Yeah, it does down here, though. It
hasn't really announced itself.
Well,
this year.
We're going to do a separate... We'll do a separate podcast, probably not a separate video, but we'll see around Wimbledon, because there's so much to talk about. Biggest Aussie contingent in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're all buggered in the men's side because, like, three-quarters of them are in the top half of the draw, so they're all going to knock each other out or be knocked out.
Yep.
So not many of them I don't see getting past the third round. Kyrgios might, but then he's got to meet Milos Raonic in the third round, and he won't beat him.
No, I wouldn't.
Not
think
on
so.
Grass.
No.
So plenty to talk about in Wimbledon, but we'll come back on that.
I think that's fine.
Okay. Super Rugby.
Yes. Ooh, yes.
Yes.
Good.
Just yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, obviously. I should mention that it's two Kiwi teams in the final, which everyone may know if they follow the rugby.
Yes.
First time since 98? No, 2006.
Been a while.
Yeah,
2006. Been a while. Who are the two teams, Phil? Tell us, who are the two teams?
It's the Hurricanes from Wellington and the Highlanders from Otago.
And who will you be backing?
I don't know.
Really?
I'm slightly torn. I know I lived in Wellington, but I'm actually from the Waikato, so my home team is the Chiefs.
Yes. I'm back in the Highlanders. I like what they're doing. They absolutely destroyed the Waratahs the other day, and they made Michael Hooper look like the absolute flog that he is.
But
and I'm pretty happy with that.
The Hurricanes have been the best team all season, so they probably deserve to win. And they've got a home final.
They will, and they're playing for the memory of Jerry Collins.
Yep.
And I think they're just too good.
Yep.
They absolutely destroyed the Brumbies.
Yep. Yep.
Just, and the Brumbies were good. So I think they were absolutely solid.
Yep.
Okay, I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you move a major sporting event to another city? Yes or no?
I think logistically it's probably possible. Where are you leading me on this one?
Culturally?
It probably depends on the event.
Okay, so Cricket Australia have come out. So Sydney and Melbourne are fighting. They're like two little girls or little boys, if we don't want to be sexist. I'm getting some trouble.
It could be a
two
boy,
small children. I should
one
have gone
boy
with.
And one girl.
Small children, two small children. I should have just gone with that instead of putting it out there. So Sydney wants more sporting events, and they've put up $200 million to lure sporting events to the city. Daniel Andrews, the premier here in Victoria, has gone, I've got $180 million, so I'll get some things. So they're trying to steal things from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney, sure. Sydney have gone on an audacious move to steal the Boxing Day test. Now, I'll ask that question again. Can you move the Boxing Day test to Sydney?
No, you can't move Boxing Day test to Sydney.
I mean, logistically, yes, you can. It's not very hard. You're playing at that ground.
Yeah, it just won't happen. It's a stupid...
Well, they haven't come out because they said, and this is where I wanted to bring it up, because everyone said, nah, look, it's not going to happen. There's no way in hell you're going to move a Boxing Day test that regularly for the first 3 days gets 80,000 people. And then Cricket Australia came out and said, there is no plans in the immediate future to move it. However, we are always open to commercial opportunities when they benefit cricket.
Yeah,
now, look, I want him out.
I do
want him removed struck off the record, whatever the hell he is, gone. Because that's ludicrous.
Yeah, there's a bit of a, I think, a culture change going on in Australian cricket at the moment. I think, unfortunately, with the loss of guys like Tony Greig and Richie Beno being such big figures in the game, we've seen Australian cricket take the Perth Test away.
Yes.
For the recent
Now, that'll come back when the new stadium is built, I believe, but I'm not sure. Yes.
But I don't think it's a guaranteed or on a permanent basis. So these things are happening. There's some changes.
The Boxing Day... So I'm from Ireland. Mm-hmm. The Boxing Day Test, even for me, is an iconic thing.
Yeah.
Now, there's not a lot of Irish people who like cricket. It's getting better. But I used to remember getting up and watching it as a kid, like early, early morning, and going, holy crap, how is there that many people in a stadium that size watching cricket?
Yeah.
And this is ludicrous. And it was always the MCG.
Yeah, I think for international cricketers, that's one of the two big tests you want to play as a touring side, either Boxing Day Test or a Lord's Test. Those are the pinnacles.
Yeah, because no one really cares about the New Year's Day Test in Sydney, do they?
People
in Sydney care.
I don't think it's as iconic as a as a Boxing
Day Test. So you don't think you can move an iconic event like the Boxing Day Test?
Well, even the New Year's Day Test is semi-iconic, so I don't know why they want to give that up for Boxing Day.
Because it's worth more, I reckon.
Boxing Day Test is a better event, but...
But it's a better event because it's in Melbourne. And Melbourne people get off their arses and go to games, where Sydney people are lazy and don't.
And Melbourne has a bigger stadium.
Sorry,
as well.
People, if you're listening from Sydney, but it's true. I'm standing by. If you had a crack at China last week, I'm having a crack at Sydney because they're crap at going to sporting events.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay. Gold Coast Suns.
Mmm.
Mmm. I'm sure that's what they say all the time. comes out this week, the Carmichael Hunt. The code Hopper, who's now played three codes, did a deal with the Gold Coast Police to get a lighter sentence by implicating every man and their dog that ever took coke with them up there, which by all accounts was a hell of a lot of people.
It seems that way, yeah.
So he came out and said that there's 3-day binges on drugs and booze, which is a fairly big time.
Mm.
Should those players be under the same scrutiny as the players at Essendon?
Not in the sporting sense, because I'm not
performance
doing anything against the laws of the game, I guess. Certainly criminal activity.
Well, you get a couple of strikes in the AFL.
Yeah, but it's a code of conduct violation, not a sporting violation in that sense. So, sure, I mean, if criminal charges are appropriate, then do it, whatever. I mean,
now, second question, if you were an 18-year-old drafted to the Gold Coast... Did you have a good time?
I'm sure you probably did.
I reckon it was just about as good as football. I don't play football. I go down to the beach and take drugs.
Drove Ferraris topless.
Now, that's Bernard Tomic and Lamborghinis, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
While he was going to the strippers. Jeez, he's a dick. Okay. The other thing that happened with drugs this week was Sammy Mitchell.
Mm. Now, tell me about this. I don't know if I know it.
So Sammy Mitchell is a... perennial, it's not really the word I'm looking for, but he's a repeat offender on the mouthy stuff.
Mm.
So there's rumours that he was the guy who mouthed off to Mitch Clark at Geelong about his mental illness, which is completely out of order, if that's the case. Now, somebody in Hawthorn did. Nobody ever owned up.
Mm.
Mitchell was the one kind of that was tatted around. It's not his first time kind of mouthing off. So what he did to one of the Essen players, and I can't remember exactly which player it was, but they were having a bit of a stash at quarter time, and basically Mitchell turned around and went, "Hey, mate, you just go dope up, buddy." Now, the MRP, or the match review panel, came out today and said he's got no case to answer because he apologised on TV and he apologised to the player. Now, he only apologised on TV because he was caught.
Yeah.
No other reason. For a player that's got three premierships... is essentially a champion of the game, a fantastic player, and someone who's batting above his height because he's about 4'1". There's clearly no need for him to say this stuff.
Well, no.
Except for the fact that he's a bit of a dick.
Yeah. But he is an AFL player and a lot of them are a bit of a dick.
And they're in Hawthorn at the moment, and Hawthorn are just playing like a bunch of dicks. They're just punching people. They're getting $1,000 fines every week for punching people in the stomach.
Yeah.
So Sammy Mitchell came close to getting into Clown of the Week this week just for being a flog.
Yeah. Being a clown,
yeah, but we'll let him slide.
Let him slide, eh?
Now, speaking of that,
hmm?
It's time for Clown of the Week.
Oh yes, Clown of the Week.
It's my song.
It is your song. I know. Right. We remember.
Well, I know. You care. It's because you care, Phil.
Maybe.
There's a camera here. Just look like you care.
Okay. I'll do my caring face.
It's a good caring face. I like
it. I
don't
think it was.
All right, who's your clown of the week this week?
Well, I had mixed emotions about this because I think it's clownish behaviour, but it's also pretty funny, and I have previously celebrated this type of behaviour with a close friend.
Yes, but yes, it is a close friend that's coming up shortly, by the way.
We'll meet him soon. But my clown of the week is the, I'm calling him the proctologist, or Mr. Stinky Finger Gonzalo Jara.
Yeah.
For Chile. He's Chilean, isn't it?
He was Chilean, yeah.
Yes,
yep.
I'm sure most of you know what I'm talking about. But he did stick his finger
up. Not Chilean, Chilean. Oh, Chilean. We had this conversation last week.
That's the correct pronunciation. Why are you giving me grief about that?
I don't know.
I just want to be correct, all right?
Fair enough.
Okay.
I see.
For those of you who don't know, Gonzalo Jara stuck his finger up Edison Cavani's bum during a Copa America quarterfinal.
We have posted this video on Twitter. We'll post it again because it's worth seeing. It's just one of those weird things. Anyway, yeah. Sorry, carry on.
Cavani gave him a little slap.
Very little. Like a little. Yeah, like no more than that.
It was a caress.
Yeah, it was. It was a gentle, loving caress.
Yeah, it was a caress.
And he went down like he was shot in the face.
He did, yeah. And unfortunately, Cavani got sent off.
He did. Bad refereeing, but then South American referees, I expect nothing more.
Yes, that seems a little racist. We'll... I'll leave that to you.
Says the man, says it, it's getting hot. Says the man who had a crack at China.
Yeah, but I was justified.
Have you seen South American referees? They're awful.
Yeah, I have. But
I mean, not in public, they don't stand out.
I think that referee in particular is awful.
Well,
I don't want to judge other people based on his behavior.
Nah, we judge them all.
Okay.
Tar everybody with the same brush.
That's your brush you're painting with. I don't want any.
You're sitting at the desk with me. We're painting everyone at once.
All right, fair enough. Anyway, Gonzalo Jara, my clown of the week.
He's copped a ban as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, several games. I don't remember exactly how much.
Okay.
I didn't do that much research.
So I'm torn this week. Yes. I've got two. Now, one of them not so much. Steven Gerrard, little crybaby Stevie, came out this week to Rio Ferdinand and said, I left Liverpool because essentially I was left on the bench against Real Madrid, and I knew that my time was up. Now, when you say it like that, you go, fair enough. But he wanted game time, so he left, because I want to play 100% of the time because I'm Steven Gerrard. And it's all about Steven Gerrard when it's Steven Gerrard.
Yes.
How many more times can I say Steven Gerrard?
I don't know.
Steven Gerrard.
Are you going
Steven
for some
Gerrard
kind of record?
I could be. Is this a record?
I don't think there's ever
a record for Steven Gerrard?
I think you're the first.
So he was in there because it's just a bit of a crybaby move, and I'm bigger than the club. You were 35, mate. You were lucky to be still playing. You can go to America and be found out.
Well, look, as a Liverpool fan,
it
was pretty obvious to me for probably 18 months before this happened
that he was cooked.
Yeah, he was done as a player, or at least a top level player. So,
all right, my other clown, and I think I'm going to give this is going to be my clown of the week is Neymar. So we talked about him last week he cried when he got injured during the World Cup. He then headbutted a guy in the Copa America and got banned.
He did.
After the game was over.
Yeah.
This week he's been found smoking on the balcony of a hotel.
Mm.
And his official response, if players want to smoke, as long as they can keep running, I don't care, it's bad for you, it's going to kill you, it's your own choice. But his excuse was, it wasn't me, it was my body double. Now that's a ripper. That is a ripper. It was not me, it was a guy who looks exactly like me smoking on the hotel that I was staying in. So he either travels with a body double or it was just horrendous coincidence.
Either way, it's a weird situation.
Okay. Out of Neymar and out of Gonzalo, who are we giving clown of the week to?
I'm going to go Steven Gerrard.
Oh, he's going Steven Gerrard for being a crybaby.
Just out of spite.
All right, I'm in it because I'm not a big fan of Steven Gerrard.
Fair enough.
All right, so Steven Gerrard, welcome to the club. You are our clown of the week.
Thank you, Steven.
Righty. Bit of a different segment coming up now.
Mm.
Bringing in the one and only Dr. Lloyd.
Yes.
To talk a bit about the tour. About some doped up men in France that isn't Carmichael Hunt when he played rugby there.
Well, yes. We do have a special treat for you, Dr. Lloyd White, with our Tour de France preview. Well, guys, as I said, special treat today with Dr. Lloyd White, our resident cycling expert, to give us a rundown of the... upcoming Tour de France. And before we start, I'm going to put on my cycling hat. I even brought it today. Special treat. Special day.
I think you win the battle of the jumpers as well.
Well, maybe. Yours is nice.
Mm, yeah.
I like
fair
it.
Yours.
Okay.
Swap later.
Yeah, we're going to swap later. Well, I'm pretty excited about this tour. I think it's going to be a cracker. Tell me more.
Yeah. It's, I kind of haven't been that excited about cycling this year for various reasons, mostly linked to Astana.
Yes.
But I'm starting to get the mojo, starting to get things coming through. And as I was researching this article, I was like, yes, this is going to be an absolute cracker.
Mm.
It's the first time in generations that there are four genuine top line contenders for the title.
Yep.
Any one of the four could win it legitimately.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. And I think for me also the course this year, the stages,
yes,
really good.
Yep.
It's very, really even. Exciting.
Yeah, there's pros and cons for each of the four favoured riders. Some situations will suit others more than others. And yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how it pans out. So basically, Tour de France, big cycling race, all the goes around France. It's actually starting in Holland this year because why not?
Yep.
Basically made up of a whole heap of flat stages, followed by a whole heap of mountain stages, followed by a flat stage going into the Champs-Élysées in Paris, where it all finishes off. And so a new kind of new element that's been added in the past couple of years are sections with cobblestones.
Ooh, now we like the cobbles.
Like the cobbles a lot.
They were exciting last year.
Yeah, it really does sort the men from the boys, as it were. And last year, Nibali basically made his move on the cobbles and was never seen again.
Yep.
Whereas Chris Froome, who was his main competitor last year, didn't even make it to the cobbles. He made it to the stage, crashed three times because the road was wet. So it really calls into question his cycling ability.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing.
Big call there. He's only won the Tour de France before once. So
yeah, but if you can't ride a bike in the rain, then I think you're going to struggle.
Yeah, yeah, particularly when you've got the likes of Nibali and Contador and Quintana.
Yep.
Chasing you down.
So run us through the contenders, please.
Okay, so the four contenders are Vincenzo Nibali, Alberto Contador, Nairo Quintana, and Chris Froome. Nibali won it last year, virtually unchallenged, I think it could be said, in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Just dominated the race from stage one through to stage 21.
Yep, and like you said, made his move on the cobbles, which came pretty early, stage four, I think they were.
Yeah, really early. He had already had a bit of a breakaway in one of the earliest stages as well, and it just, he put doubts into the minds of the other contenders, mm-hmm. and then just blew them away. So, defending champion, he hasn't raced too much this year. What he has, he's looked good. He's just won the Italian champion, always Italian champion again. He's previously won all three of the Grand Tours as well. So
yeah, he's got history.
Strong history, strong pedigree, really durable, adaptable rider.
Yep.
And in what could be a key in this Tour de France is that he's really, really good at descending. There are a few mountain stages that finish on top of mountains, but only short mountains which are preceded by big descents, and that could be crucial.
That was one of the notes I made about Nibali as well.
Yeah. the cons of Nibali, he rides for Astana.
Yeah, that's a big con.
He's never been implicated in any drug taking. He's widely seen as being a clean rider, but the fact he rides for Astana just taints him in a bad light.
Yeah, certainly has the air of guilty by association.
Yep, so for those that aren't as clued in, Astana are a team based in Kazakhstan, probably the richest of all the teams, and so therefore can threaten big legals.
Yeah.
They had five riders test positive for performance enhancing drugs last year or in the last 12 months.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Yes.
Question marks, which I think leads us neatly on to Alberto Contador.
Alberto Contador. He won the Giro last year as well as. Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't win Vuelta. It's all right.
No, he won the Giro this year.
He won the Giro this year.
Yes, he's going for the double.
Yeah, he's going for the triple, actually, because he won the Vuelta a Espana last year as well, as the last one.
Okay.
But he has previously been banned for 2 years for doping, so he's probably juiced up to the eyeballs.
Yep.
Really strong rider, though. Can't be discounted. Similar to Nibali, lot of game. But age is getting to him as well, and there are better climbers in the top four.
Mm.
Nairo Quintana, is probably, or is definitely, the best climber in the world.
Beautiful. Now, we saw Nairo come to light 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. He finished second to Chris Froome in the 13 tour.
And blew Froome away on multiple climbs in the last week.
Yep.
So he is, if he is within 2 minutes of the leader going into the last week, he will win.
Yep.
Basically. He's that good. Expect fireworks. It's going to be great. Not in fantastic form at the moment, but he's been training heavily in his native Colombia in the lead up to this.
So yeah, from what I understand, I think he's preparing really well. He's actually the only one of the four to have done a race on cobbles this year, which should give him some tips, I guess, some help on the early stages.
Chris Froome. Which is good. Yeah, and Chris Froome won it in 2013. I'm not a huge fan of him. There are question marks on Team Sky as well. Again, another guilt by association. They've recruited the guy that was head of Rabobank's doping program in the late 90s. Never a good look.
No.
And they're also shocking at team time trials, of which there is a long one this year.
Yeah.
And Chris Froome is a more of a noted individual time trialist, and the time trial this year is only about 13 kilometres.
Yeah. First stage. My thoughts on the top four. I think if Chris Froome is going to get anywhere near the title, he's going to have, everything's just going to have to go perfect for him in that first week. He's going to have to survive the cobbles. And the time trial, his team's going to work for him. If he can do that, he might have a chance, but he's going to have a big lead over my pick, Quintana, who, as you said, he's a climbing specialist.
That last
week especially is going to be pretty brutal.
There's five summit finishes in the last week.
Good. Nibali, outside bet. Like you said, good downhiller. Which I think in this tour is going to be pretty important. Lots of downhills, lots of mountains, lots of going downhill as well. So should be good.
Also looking forward to seeing the performance of the French this year. They haven't had a winner since 1985, but they did have the second and third places last year in Jean-Christophe Perrault and Thibaut Pinot. Thibaut Pinot is a young guy. Perrault made the switch from mountain biking a few years ago and has been killing it. But a year's old.
The third one I'd add into that is Romain Bardet. He's also on the team with Perrault and a really good climber, so I think he's going to tow Perrault up the hills quite well. Perrault's a good downhiller, so I can see him on the podium.
Yes, me too. I'd like to see a Frenchman win it.
Yeah, look, I think this year especially, it's the 40th anniversary of the King of the Mountain Award, as well as 40th year it's finished on Champs-Élysées.
Excellent. Well, made the best rider win.
Yeah.
Best clean rider win.
Absolutely. Well, we can only hope, eh?
Yeah, it's a long shot, but let's go for it.
I think that was an informative, slightly comedic. You're really not happy about the doping.
Well, who?
Who is?
Yeah.
It's true. Well, it's true. Welcome to the table anyway. Nice to have you, Phil. Beautiful hat.
Yeah, it's good.
Every week, thank you.
Tour de France.
I know, I saw that.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's time for our viral story of the week, or stories of the week, where we look at kind of what's popped up in the papers that's funny, what's popped up on social media. Two things spring to mind. I'll go with the first one. Philly, you can go with the second one. Lloydie, jump in if you care. during a Kansas... Kansas City. Oh, I can't remember what the hell they're called. Kansas in the MLS, middle of the game, sprinklers came on. I don't really have much more than that because that's the story, but I just thought it was funny. You can look at some video online. Sprinklers come on, nailed all the players. Like about 15 sprinklers came on.
I'm pretty sure that hasn't even happened to Old Hill.
No, it doesn't.
No, it's happened to your wife at a hockey game. That was pretty funny.
It did, yeah.
It did. Full blast in the face.
Yes. So that's funny. Phil, what else have you got?
Staying with the MLS, you guys might have seen
it. It's an MLS themed.
Well, okay, let's call it the MLS Viral Stories of the Week. How about that?
It's going to be hard to do every week. I'm not sure that much happens in it every week.
We can do that.
It's actually insane. Clint Dempsey's now got suspended for tearing up. So there's actually could be the MLS Story of the Week.
Wow, okay, good. But yeah, you might have seen it, a fantastic free kick routine in the MLS.
Unbelievable. We'll tweet it again after the show, but unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
There's like five guys running in different angles.
Yeah, there's a lot of misdirection.
Full pace. If you haven't seen it, get online, look it up. It was... This shows you how much research we do. It's not a lot. I saw a video.
It's one of the New York teams.
The New York teams played today, but they bought Red Bulls, whatever the hell they're called. Yeah. Jesus, I'm having a bad day. Red Bulls guys beat the new franchise, the Manchester City franchise, like 3-1 or 4-1, I think. I might be wrong. I saw the result. I saw like 85 minutes.
We don't care about the viral stuff. With the MLS.
But that sort of free kick routine, you can only ever do it once.
Oh yeah, it can't be done again. Mind you, they run so fast and so many different angles, you wouldn't know what the hell's going on at the best of times.
It's difficult to defend against. Most of the defenders are just standing there looking around and saying...
Wasn't he your man? Wasn't he yours?
What the hell just happened?
Okay. Right, that's good. We need to finish up here. Oh. We've all got homes to go to.
Oh.
Mostly.
Except Phil. Phil lives on the street with his hat.
I do. It keeps me warm.
And you turn it up and people put money in it. It's beautiful.
Dance. All right,
for a box.
Lloydy, being that you're the guest, what are you looking forward to this week?
Well, start of the tour, for one. It's not pay week.
Let's keep it to sporting things.
Oh.
We'll go with the tour.
It's not that much actually happening.
No, it's a weird week.
Around the world.
It's a weird week.
Yeah, a lot of things are winding up this week.
You've got the Women's World Cup semis.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Billy?
I think, a couple of good games this week. And then the final one was at... final's on Monday morning.
Yeah. And who do you reckon it's going to be again?
I'm going for Germany-Japan.
Germany-Japan. I'm going to go for... Japan... No,
not Germany.
USA, I think.
Okay. Well, those are your only options. If it's not Germany, it's USA.
Yeah.
They may as well.
Mostly, I forgot who was playing here. There.
Did you need some help? By process of elimination.
Absolutely. You didn't really. You didn't give me nothing there. You gave me zero.
I told you the matchups earlier.
You did. It's true. I forgot. It's been a long night. No, it hasn't. I just forgot. I'm looking forward to the Super Rugby final. We talked about it already, but the Hurricanes, Highlanders in Wellington. I think the Canes will win it, but I want the Highlanders to win it.
Yes.
I think that will be the outcome, and it's a fair outcome if it happens.
I agree.
If the Hurricanes win, it'll be a better outcome if the Highlanders won, because Dunedin will go mental.
Yeah.
And that's a good, solid party town.
That's true.
I have no opinion on rugby.
Of course you don't. Look at you. You've got a beard. You've got a beard, glasses, woolly joint. Yeah, he doesn't give a crap. He's wearing a hat. Look at the hat, for God's sake.
This is a very Melbourne hat.
He's wearing a hat that says Lecoq on it. I say no more. I say
we'll give
no
you a
more.
Close up.
All right, guys, that's a wrap up for the week. Lloydy, thank you very much.
Thank
it was great to
much.
Have you. We've been
thank
meaning
you.
To get you in before to talk science because you're a science guy.
Well, we can get onto the topic of doping.
Yes. I've got questions about doping.
All right.
We'll do that next week.
Next week, we'll talk about doping.
Yeah.
So tune in if you care about how to legally... Or
so
not get caught.
So easy.
Yeah.
This one we'll call the lawyers about. Guys, please subscribe to us on YouTube. It's going to be over Lloyd's head somewhere. So, or on his face, depending on how the video shoots. It'll be on Lloyd.
He's quite tall.
He's quite tall. So subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. That'd be great. Add in a comment, what you didn't like. If you didn't like it, be gentle. If you did like it, tell us what you liked. Follow us on social media, so, Twitter, Facebook, Sporting Mad AU for Twitter, Sporting Mad for Facebook. We're also brought to you by our overarching website, which is sportingmad.com.au. So get on there. We've again been at the Brunswick Bowls Club. Get online and check out brunswickbowlsclub.com. It absolutely is.
It's your club.
I know.
And or .au.
Yeah, .com.au. But it's awesome. They have us here every Monday and we really appreciate it. It gets us out of the house. Pretty much. I'll give a marathon update next week. It's all going forward. Training's been happening. Things have been happening. I know you wouldn't tell from this sleek, spelt.
Are you carb loading at the moment? Is it?
I'm hibernating for winter. So I'll give an update for that. So from Philip J. Singh, Lloydy, I'm Andy Hayes. You've been watching another episode of The Sports Cooler.